Portions of this podcast have been edited due to copyright.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's time for the Mercedes in the Morning Pre-Show, Mix 94.1.
Good morning and welcome to the pre-show. It is Wednesday, August 12th. It is 5:31. Welcome. Thank you for being here. It is, midweek. Hopefully the week's going by pretty smooth for you. Kids back in school. Hopefully we're adjusting to the new schedules. And halfway to the weekend. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I had a good conversation with my mom last week. We've been so busy. It's been a few weeks since we caught up. She has a grand opening. I told you she has a store that she's opening up. Remember, like, that vintage store that...
I don't remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, she's opening up a vintage store in her little hometown, and it's in a couple weeks, so I'll be going down to visit her.
Nice! It's always good to go visit mom. If you are lucky enough to have mom still around, it's always good to have those visits.
Yeah, so excited for that. How are you doing?
I'm good, good. Good day. Just, I was really happy last night, just I just needed a positive way to shut out the day, just kind of get away from all the noise. And Ted Lasso was out early. I didn't realize, like, technically it comes out Wednesday, but for us, it comes out at like 6 p.m. on Tuesday night. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I need. And it was so good. I was literally laughing out loud on a couple of parts. And afterwards, I was just like, that is exactly what I needed. That was the medicine I needed. A little Ted Lasso. I'm so glad it is back.
How do you like it compared to the other seasons?
I love it. I love what they're doing. I love the new characters that they're introducing, like especially last night's episode. It was truly, truly back. It was so good. So yeah, I did that. Went and saw my esthetician yesterday, got my skin worked on, stuff like that. So yeah, it was a good day. Just kind of getting back into the groove with our, you know, now that that my youngest is back in school, just trying to, you know, who's got homework? Okay, what time are we gonna eat dinner? Okay, you gotta be here at this time. So, you know, just getting back on track for sure.
Her after school program stuff, does she have anything to do after school?
Yeah, she had meetings yesterday and everything's pushed back just because of the later start times and the later end times. And so it's going to just take some getting used to. But, you know, everyone's going through it. Everyone's kind of got shuffled around. So we'll make it work for sure.
But that's awesome, though. I'm glad she's back in the routine and all that stuff.
Yeah, she's doing well. And everything is good. Very excited about the show today. We've got a lot coming up, including your tickets to see the Backstreet Boys. You got to be listening in the 9 o'clock hour today. We are going to give you the Backstreet Boys keyword of the day. When you hear it, you want to text it to our contest line. Now, that's different from our request line. Our contest line is 20357. 20357. Write that down. When you hear the Backstreet Boys keyword, you're going to want to text us that word to 20357 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see them at the Sphere. Also during the show, we've got more tickets for you to see Benson Boone. He's coming to town this weekend, T-Mobile Arena, and that's happening at 7:30 with the Mega Minute. So make sure you stick around. A lot to come this morning. Let's do it. We want to start the show. Time for the pre-show. You pick them. You get to pick the first song of the show. Do you want to hear?
It's Mix 94.1 with Mercedes in the Morning.
Have you ever paid for a luxury service and you felt completely let down by it? What was it? 702-364-9400. I saw someone complaining about luxury experiences that don't live up to the hype. And it was stuff like first class flights and not being worth the massive cost, or Michelin star restaurants where the food is great, but then you have a $2,000 check that comes to the table. And I was thinking about like the luxury letdown that I had. And I don't know if anyone else feels the same way when it comes to this. I thought we were being so fancy. I thought my friend is going to love this. We were taking her out for her birthday and we decided to go big. And we decided to go like VIP and we got bottle service.
Oh, the classic bottle service.
Bottle service is the biggest luxury letdown I've ever experienced. I mean, what a mistake. I'm not going to say like the number out loud because I don't want anyone to wreck their car this morning, but
like thousands of dollars.
It's just stupid what you pay for that. But I thought, okay, you know, we have all these mixers and they keep a special eye on us and we have our own area and this is going to be great. She's going to love it. So basically, we were just standing around a table with some vodka and a sparkler. And here's the kicker. The whole reason we did it was because we wanted her to feel special on her birthday. And she looked like she would rather be home in her pajamas at that point, watching Bravo or something. Not exaggerating. She was just like, what is this? And then we ran out of mixers. Not the booze. The booze was fine. But then and then people started coming to our table because, you know, they wanted free drinks.
Of course.
Like, it was just the biggest luxury letdown ever. Does anyone have something like that where you paid big for something that you thought was going to be really special and you walked away completely let down? What was it?
For me, when I lived in New Zealand, we went to this island called Waiheke Island, and the ferry ride there, we're like, we can't wait to try their crazy, like the best wines in the entire country, okay? And so we go in to the island, we sit down at the restaurant that they're famous for this red blend. So we're like, we'll get your top premium red blend. It's a $300 bottle. So we're like, at least there's four of us where we can split it, right? I taste the wine, and why am I so disappointed?
It was awful.
And it's like, and it's probably good to like wine enthusiasts and stuff, but to me, like, wine is just not my thing. So when I tasted it, I was like, are you kidding me? I'm paying like $75 for this whatever glass of wine, but it's supposed to be like the best wine in the world. So for sure, that was a luxury letdown, that red blend wine in New Zealand.
Yeah, sometimes you just, especially if you're not a regular wine drinker, it's like you go with the barefoot. The barefoot at the Albertsons, just grab that. Yeah, that's all you need. Yeah, you don't need to go with anything fancy. We're getting some texts here. Luxury letdowns. Renee says, I own a hot tub. I used it twice. It's basically an expensive hot puddle in my backyard.
All those things go to waste. My grandpa's went to waste too. I think we used it once.
Christine says, OMG, we have a boat. We bought a boat. We've used it 4 times in 2 years and we still pay for it every single month. Huge letdown. This one says, we went to a Michelin star dinner for my birthday. Tiny portions, huge bill, and I stopped for In-N-Out on the way home.
Welcome to another episode of Mercedes in the Morning. And now, here's your host, Mercedes!
Good morning and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, August 12th. It is 6:04. Thanks for being here. You're up early, aren't you? And it's not getting as light as early. I noticed the change is coming. Fall is approaching. And you know that's true when the pumpkin spice latte comes out this month.
Yes, so. August 25th.
Yeah, so that is on the way. Yeah, just with school back in session. How's it going for everyone? Are you guys used to it? We got a couple of texts when we mentioned it earlier, and people were talking about how the bus system has had some glitches that people are dealing with. Others are having a hard time getting their middle schoolers up so early because they're not used to going in this early. So how is everything going? I actually saw this this article this morning, and it's rounding up what teachers and education experts actually wish parents understood heading into this new school year. And it was actually, I thought it was really interesting. Some of the things on the list were like, number one was, we're on the same team. You know, kids have the best shot of success when the teachers and the parents are on the same team and not going against each other. Books are powerful. Teachers really wish that kids would read at home more or read on their own, not just like assigned things. That helps so much. Any teachers agree with this or have something you'd want to add? What is it that you really want parents to know? 702-364-9400 is our number. Let's see what else is on here. Stay engaged. Play games with your kids. Like, have fun with them. Do, you know, take them with you to the grocery store. Do stuff with them. Don't let them just sit on a screen all day. And these things sound so simple and like no-brainers, but I think a lot of parents forget to do these kinds of things.
Yeah, and I also think that it's even harder as we grow, or the parents get older and the kids get older too. It's because the generations are different. So yeah. How can we, as parents, or how can parents get in touch with the times to get better at technology or so forth?
Well, I think that's the point, to stay away from technology. Like, try to do fun things. Play Uno, you know, try to do
Monopoly.
Things that get the whole family together. Speak positively is on here. Number five, this one's blunt. Sugar and sleep. They say that the lifestyle habits show up in the classroom performance, so maybe don't send them in with a bag of cookies and a soda after they were up until midnight playing a video game or something. Like, please be careful with that. Don't shoot the messenger. Don't get mad if the teacher calls and says, hey, your kid is having troubles with this, or you know, they're just trying to help. And then please respect teachers' boundaries. Just because you can fire off an email at 11 doesn't mean you should expect a reply at 11
p.m. Crazy
that
students can even email teachers. I don't think we ever could email teachers as students to teachers, only parents to teachers.
They have these programs now where it's just like apps where you message your teachers, and it's very streamlined. It's very cool. You can reach them whenever you want. But, you know, as a parent, if you have an issue with a teacher and you are all heated and send it at 10 o'clock at night, don't get mad if you don't get a reply first thing in the morning. They probably don't check their... Yeah, exactly. So we're getting some texts here from teachers. This one says, I'm a teacher and the sugar and sleep thing is real. You can tell by 10 a.m., which kids are having a rough morning. Interesting. This says, my daughter came home and repeated some negative things I said about her teacher at the dinner table.
Oh, no.
Oh, nay.
Never, never, never.
Yeah, that's not good. This one says, my wife is a teacher. She says, one kind email from a parent can turn her whole week around. That's something to consider. Just like, hey, you're doing a great job. I can totally see a difference in my kids' handwriting or some, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's just something. I think we only send the emails when there's an issue, not when there's something nice to talk about.
Yeah, teachers, they're our unsung heroes. Yeah. They deserve more credit.
Well, and it's only day three of back to school, so hang in there, students and teachers and parents too. So, all right, we've got a lot coming up on the show this morning. In less than an hour, 7 o'clock, we have your tickets to see Lindsay Sterling. She's putting on a holiday spectacular show at the Venetian, and the tickets haven't even gone on sale yet. We're going to give those away with Beat Mercedes at 7. At 7:30, we've got your tickets to see Benson Boone with the Mega Minute. Make sure you are listening for that. And in the 9 o'clock hour, be listening for the Backstreet Boys keyword of the day. When you hear it, you want to text that word to 20357 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see them at their Sphere residency. Lots going on. And coming up next, we have What's Trending. Two of the biggest franchises ever are finally colliding, and the characters involved makes this even crazier. I'll tell you who is meeting who coming up next in What's Trending.
Mercedes in the Mornings, trending. What's trending on Mix 94.1.
Star Wars and Marvel are trending this morning. Two of the biggest franchises in pop culture officially crossing paths for the first time. This is massive. Marvel Comics and Lucasfilm announced Star Wars / Marvel Hope Assembles.
What?
Yes, it's a 5-part comic series bringing Star Wars characters into the main Marvel Comics universe. Now, this is gonna be like so epic. I can't believe like that it took them so long to figure out to do something.
Seriously.
Like this. The series launches in January 2027. It's part of the 50th anniversary celebration of Star Wars: A New Hope. So the story brings Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo, and Chewbacca together with Marvel heroes, including Spider-Man, Captain America, Black Widow, Hulk, all the Avengers.
Like, I don't even know what to say right now.
Yeah, on the villain side, Dr. Doom crosses paths with Darth Vader and the Galactic Empire.
Why am I nerding out right now?
It's going to be so cool. The setup centers on this reality-shattering spell that causes the Marvel heroes to witness the events of A New Hope unfolding on Earth. So Marvel says that the story firmly places the Star Wars franchise within Earth 616, which is the primary universe for Marvel Comics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's just, I mean, I don't even know what to say. This is such a huge, huge collaboration.
It's not only just huge, but it's kind of cool because Disney owns the rights to both, right? They have Marvel and they have Star Wars. When I go to Disneyland, I always think about these things. Like, wouldn't it be cool if these franchises mixed together? And these are the top two franchises that would blow Disney adults' minds.
Kevin Smith, he's writing the whole thing, which makes sense. He's a massive comic and Star Wars fan. And he said he used to read, you know, Star Wars comics as a kid. And he always wished that Spider-Man or Doctor Doom would somehow show up in a Star Wars comic. So someone said, finally, Kevin, go ahead, go do that. But what makes this even crazier is that Marvel's been publishing Star Wars comics since 1977. So these two franchises have been connected behind the scenes for almost 50 years.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. So I already know people are going to have opinions on this because, you know, Darth Vader and Doctor Doom together sound incredible. Spider-Man meeting Luke Skywalker, it sounds kind of incredible. But once you open this door, where do you stop? Because Disney has a lot of characters.
Winnie the Pooh is going to start showing up.
Yeah, like I can't see, you know, Aladdin hanging out with Black Widow, but maybe he will. So either way, January just suddenly got a lot more interesting. And if this thing blows up, I have a hard time believing a 5-issue comic series is where this idea ends. And that is what's trending.
Bring it in now. This is Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
Do you and your partner have a number, like a dollar amount, where anything above it means you have to talk about it before you buy it? Some couples just run on the honor system and just trust each other with whatever hits the card. Other couples have like a hard line, $50 or $100. And crossing that without a heads up, that's like relationship foul. And Steph, I know you kind of are having this right now with your husband.
Yeah. So right now I've always wanted a new TV stand. And the reason why is because we don't even have a TV stand. It looks like it's like a broke college student kind of went on to one of those Facebook marketplaces, and we've had it for years. But he, James, is adamant about trying to get this $400 black table that it's so cute. Like, let's not lie, it's so adorable. And I'm like, this is perfect. We even measured it, but right now we can't afford it. It's $400. That's way above what we can spend right now. So he comes back, he goes, what if I just came home with it without telling you? I was like, are you kidding me? That's a purchase that we need to talk about right now, because we're on a budget. Over $100, we need to discuss. So I'm wondering, what's your guys' number between you and your partners where anything below it, whatever, you go grab it. But anything after that number, you guys feel like you need to consult with.
We don't really have a number written down anywhere, but, you know, the rule kind of is, you know, big purchase, we talk about it. Like our washing machine died this week, and so Matt called out a guy to come and give us an estimate, and it was like $300. And, you know, even though it's like not the wildest amount of money, he was like, hey, what do you think? He's like, do you want to pay $300 or should we look at a new washer? Because a new washer is like $600.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't know. So that like was a whole discussion, but that's just kind of how we operate. It's less about the dollar amount and more like a conversation about what's happening. Like, hey, I'm thinking about buying this TV stand. What do you think? And I like, if he came to me and said, hey, I'm going to get this TV stand, it's $400, and I knew it was out of our budget, I'll be like, okay, like, do we need it right now? Or if we do, okay, go for it. But we're going to have to like cut back on something else.
Yeah. Ramon, what about you and Jackie?
Kind of the same. We don't have a specific dollar amount. Obviously, if it's something, a big purchase, like Mercedes said, a washer, do we want to fix it or do we want a new one? It's a phone call if she's not home, or text message going back and forth. if I had to put a number, it had to be something really high, like $500. Like, if I went home today with the new Nintendo Switch 2, she would definitely question me about
it. Yeah. See, for me, like, I maybe because James is in control of our finance and I'm like, this is something we need to discuss. I don't know. I feel like that's a good, like, anything over $100 in my book would be okay. Let's talk about it. Do we need it or do we not?
$100? Really? That's like, I mean, our. Then you have a lot of discussions because a lot of things cost over $100.
We have a lot. Yes, we do. We really do. Because of we're just kind of in debt right now because of all the weddings and stuff. So yeah, $100 is where we're at right now.
We're getting some texts. This one says ours is $300, but somehow my wife can spend $500 and get away with it. This one says anything over a dollar, got to ask the wife. Wow, you've got a low budget there, buddy. This one says $200 is our line, and even that. It can get questionable sometime. This Ashley says, honestly, we should have a number, but we just found out we both bought the same $600 thing without knowing. What? You both bought the same $600 thing. What is the $600 thing? We have to know.
It has to be a washer.
Yeah, you have dual washers, but no dryer now. What do?
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
Movie theaters are having a moment again, and we can thank Gen Z for it. The CEO of one of the major movie chains says, or movie theater chain says, that younger audiences are straight up over like the small screen life. His words are, they're tired of looking at their phones and they want to go out and actually do something social with their friends. And good for them, because it's not, you know, it's not just superheroes movies packing the theaters anymore either. We're talking about movies, everything from The Odyssey, some epic Greek adventure, to the Mario movie, to the Meryl Streep sequel nobody knew that they needed. The number one movie of the year so far has pulled in over $600 million.
Wow.
And you know, get this, the Toy Story movie and then the Michael Jackson biopic, they're both in the top five. So if you feel like you've been seeing more people, young people at the movie theater lately, you're not imagining it. Gen Z is keeping the flow going for the movie theaters.
Did you guys watch the movie Backrooms?
Yes,
no.
I did.
No, Mercedes, yes or no? Okay, it's like huge with my nephews right now, and they said they loved it. What's so great about it?
It started off as a YouTube web series. That's why it's the same director, creator of the YouTube web series. He got his own movie at like 21 years old.
Oh, that's right.
Like that.
I know that's a big movie with the kids. And anything else from like your daughter's Mercedes that you're like, oh, this is the movie of the year?
Oh, well, they loved The Odyssey, they loved Project Hail Mary, they loved Obsession, Devil Wears Prada 2, I'm trying to think, Toy Story, you know, 5. There were so many this year. It's like always trying to find an excuse to go to the movies. The Star Wars, The Mandalorian and Grogu one was big. Yeah, there's just been so many. Spider-Man, of course.
Oh, yeah. And then at the end of the year, it's Doomsday.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good one, too.
I'm really excited for Verite. Did you guys see the trailer that was released yesterday?
Anne Hathaway?
Yeah, that looks amazing. I cannot wait for that one to come
book,
out.
Right?
Yeah, Colleen Hoover novel, and man, it looks so scary. I haven't it even does. Read the book, but I want to read it now because of the trailer. It looks so good. Also this morning, summer is winding down, and I guess a lot of us are kind of feeling sad about it. A new poll found nearly 1 in 4 people say they don't really feel like they made the most of their summer. And get this, 61% haven't even taken a vacation yet. Some people blame their to-do list. Some people blame their bank account. Some people are just hoping to squeeze in one more trip before the season is over. But here's the part that got me. Most people aren't planning these trips in advance anymore. They're just doing it on a whim. Like, hey, let's go somewhere this weekend. And then they just pick up and go. A huge chunk of people say social media is kind of what gives them that travel itch when they see people going places on video and they're like, you know what? I want to go see
the
that
place. The travel FOMO is
real. Yeah, for real.
My friend went to Iceland on a whim.
Oh,
he literally
nice.
Booked a flight on like 2 days before. He's like, I got a week off. What am I going to do? Oh, I'll go to Iceland. He was there for 4 days.
Great idea. I mean, right, especially if it's affordable, like, why not? Mm-hmm. You might as well. Finally, this morning, an Arkansas high school football player learn the hard way to always check your gear before you put it on. He's a student at Maumelle High School. He wore his helmet through an entire practice, almost an hour, before he felt something kind of moving around on his head. Turns out there was a 2-foot-long cotton mouth curled up under the padding the entire time. A cotton mouth, for anyone who doesn't know, is a venomous snake. The school's athletic director confirmed it, and the local animal shelter posted a warning after telling everyone to shake out their helmets, their shoes, their gloves, basically anything you're about to put on your body, because it only takes a few seconds, and it could probably save you from a very bad day.
And this guy didn't get stung or, like, bitten by the snake?
No, he didn't get because it was under the padding.
Right.
But then it started moving, and he could feel something moving over his head. Oh, he's like, what's that?
Like, something's in my brain.
I know. I would be so freaked out. But the fact that, yeah, he didn't get bit is pretty amazing. That snake was probably bouncing around getting smashed. Like, what's happening?
This is Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
Do you have a job that is actually safe from AI? 702-364-9400. Or are you quietly counting down the days until a robot takes your seat? Because there's this new ranking out, and it looks at the most in-demand jobs in America and which ones AI is realistically going to struggle to replace. Some of it made total sense. Some of it genuinely surprised me. Registered nurses came out on top as the job most resistant to being automated away, which I think checks out. Home health aides were right behind them. And then elementary school teachers, and then nursing assistants. Basically anything that requires you to actually touch a person or read a room, or, you know, comfort a scared kid. That's what's holding strong here. What got me, though, was seeing senior software engineer sitting at number 5. Like, you would think coding is exactly the kind of thing AI would eat for breakfast, right?
Or they need them to make AI.
That there's still enough judgment and problem solving involved, they say, that it's not going to go anywhere soon. So that's exactly why that job is pretty safe. Meanwhile, things like sales, logistics, management roles scored way lower on that resistance scale, like, which, you know, if you work in one of those fields, is either terrifying or a really good excuse to start updating that resume tonight, you know?
Yeah. Do you think, as radio people, we are vulnerable to AI?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think about this all the time. Radio has been dealing with this longer than people realize. You know, stations across the country have been quietly automating overnight and for weekend shifts for years. And if you don't know what that means, it's basically just a computer running the station. There's no one there. And using tools that, you know, it just writes scripts, and then using a synthetic voice, an AI voice, it's not even real. It's all over the place, you guys. You're listening to it all the time. Some stations have even gone so far as, you know, to clone a host's actual voice so that it can work shifts when a real person isn't there. And there's been real conversations industry-wide about companies asking on-air talent to sign away the rights to their own voice for AI use, which is very unsettling.
And it's backfired a little bit, I think, because AI Ashley, I think, was a radio personality either in Oregon or in Washington, and they took her off because they wanted a human being. So now a human is back in that slot for middays, I believe. And then there was backlash in that Australia, like, they used an AI person and no one knew about it. I feel like that's being cheated on.
Yeah, it's all over the place. So I definitely think about it. 702-364-9400. Are you worried about AI taking your job, or do you think you are in the clear? Christy, hey, good morning. What do you think?
Hi, I'm actually not too worried about my job. I'm actually a hairstylist, so
there's no way I'm letting a robot cut my hair. I am with you all the way, Christy. Like, you are totally safe. I've seen, like, they have those robot hairstylists, like, that is AI programmed, and you tell it the haircut you want and it supposedly gets it right. I'm like, no way. I would never trust that.
I know. And you could actually look up, like, you know, I've done that where I've looked up formulas.
Ah, oh, we lost her.
She was looking up a formula as we
Some
speak.
AI is creeping in and saying, like, yes, I will take your job. Thanks for calling. Let's talk to Clint. Hey, Clint, good morning. AI, are you worried about it?
I'm not. I'm a general contractor, and we have to make decisions hands-on. And I think the AI would be like a programmed answer, like 90% of the time this or that, and those can change over time.
Do you notice it, though, in your line of work as a general contractor that maybe some of the other positions, like, you know, a designer or an architect, maybe their skills are not needed because you have AI programs that could do the same thing?
Yeah, there is some there. And even they've been streamlined, like they cut down the people actually doing those because some of the programs do so much of the work that used to have to be done manually. So there is a change in it for sure.
But at the end of the day, you as the general contractor have to run the show. And yeah, AI is not going to be able to do this. Do you guys worry about this?
I know that at the dealership that I've been at, they have robots that actually make parts, and they'll give the parts to like the maintenance workers. And it was
like 3D printers and stuff. Yeah.
And they're people that are, that they actually move. They like hand it to you. I thought that was a trip.
Oh,
and
wow.
That can actually, that's probably taking jobs.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I know at my previous job as a bartender, I'd be a little worried because there's machines now, right? There's some bars and some casinos that you know, it's a kiosk screen and there's like little hands that make you drink.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they can do that. Tony just texted, says, I do maintenance work. Come on, AI, try fixing a busted water heater at 2 a.m. I dare you. This one said from Ashley, I'm in sales and I already feel my job getting quietly deleted. This one says, I'm a speech therapist. AI can't take that away. Gina says, I'm a lactation consultant. Not worried about AI taking my job.
Wow, there's lactation consultants, huh?
Oh, yeah. When you have a baby, lactation consultants visits you. And they talk to you about breastfeeding, teach you how to do it, teach you how to get the baby to latch on. Like, yeah, it's a whole thing. They really try to promote you to breastfeed.
Yeah, I don't think I would want an AI robot telling me how to latch on to, you know, my woman parts.
I don't even know that I would need a robot, like maybe a YouTube video or something, yeah. But it's still not that personal connection that they have with you. And then this one says, my job is definitely safe. Cement mixer driver. Yeah, I don't know how you could get a robot to do that unless you program some sort of, I don't know, machine to do it. But you probably do that already. There's too much labor involved in that. There's just some things that can't be taken away, but it's interesting nonetheless, just seeing all the texts coming in with all your jobs. Speech therapist, I work with kids and babies. There's no way either of them will listen to a robot. Also in sales, we're training AI to take my job.
No kidding.
Oh my gosh.
How does AI sell you on things? I mean, I guess it depends on what industry you're in.
I think it could simply, you know, write up a proposal. Here's what you get. You know,
that's
just
crazy.
Automatically do it. Yeah, it is really crazy. Okay, let's do it. It is time to win. Time for the Mega Minute. Who is ready to win tickets?
Are you ready? It's time for Mercedes in the Morning's Mega Minute.
Ashley, good morning. You're caller 20.
Woo! Thank you.
Are you ready for the Mega Minute?
We are ready. Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Are you by yourself this morning? Do you have someone helping you out?
With my husband and my kids, dropping my son off for his first day of sixth grade.
Oh my gosh. Well, congratulations. Have a great first day. It would be even better if you guys won these tickets. So if any one of you knows the answers to any of these questions, shout it out as loud as possible. That way we can move on to the next one, okay?
Perfect.
10 questions, 60 seconds. Let's do this.
All right, guys, if you're struggling with the question, you can say pass. Or if you get one wrong, and if we have time at the end, we'll go back to those questions. And the Mega Minute, it starts now.
Which arcade game has players controlling a frog trying to cross a busy road?
Frogger.
Yes. Victoria Beckham was a member of which musical group?
Spice Girls.
Yes. The acronym Roy G. Biv are the colors of what?
The rainbow.
Yes. What kind of bears live in the North Pole?
Polar bears.
Yes. What is Rihanna's real name?
A pass.
What actor starred alongside Angelina Jolie in the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Brad Pitt.
Yes. What is the only U.S. state that ends with a letter K?
Pass.
What social media platform did Mark Zuckerberg help create?
Facebook.
Yes. What is the name of Kylie Jenner's cosmetic line?
Kylie Cosmetics.
Yes. Brian the Talking Dog is from what cartoon show?
Family Guy.
Yes. What is Rihanna's real name?
Robin.
Judges. That's yes, fine. We'll accept that. What is the U.S.
New York.
Only U.S. Yes! Oh, my God!
Nice!
Wow. Oh, my gosh. I love it, Ashley. Your husband didn't even wait for me to finish the question. He's like, New York! You wouldn't have got it if I finished the question.
Oh,
that was brilliant.
I know. Oh, I'm so glad he's so smart.
What is your husband's name?
Josh.
Good job. You just killed that. The teamwork on that was awesome. Congratulations, you guys.
Thank you.
You are going to see Benson.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
So there's a federal hearing happening Friday for Luigi Mangione, the man accused of killing UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. And legal experts are convinced that this is about a plea deal. Like, neither side is talking publicly, not the prosecutors, not his lawyers. But when you see a hearing get scheduled at the last minute like this, that usually means something is happening behind closed doors that nobody's ready to announce yet. So here's the part that makes this case so complicated, though. His defense could actually argue double jeopardy under New York law because the federal charges against him are basically mirror images of the state charges. Oh. So if he ends up cutting a deal on the federal side, there's a real chance a state case against him gets wiped out completely, even though that case is already scheduled to go to trial next month.
What?
Yeah, and that trial is expected to be a big circus. He was in state court just yesterday, and the judge had to approve an overflow courtroom because they are thinking it's going to be a packed house with press and spectators. So, yeah, it looks like a deal may be going down. It should be interesting.
This case, it's been a while since I heard about this case, huh? It's been a few months.
Yeah, well, it's been going on. Maybe it's just not really like in your algorithm. But so this surprise little hearing on Friday should be interesting. We'll see what happens. Also this morning, Michelle Branch. Do you guys remember the singer Michelle Branch?
Oh my God, I loved her.
You don't remember her?
No.
Oh, she was great. Remember this song?
Iconic.
Oh, yes.
She has given us a genuine full circle moment. She has reunited with Greg Alexander from the group The New Radicals to re-record this song, The Game of Love. This song was one of the songs that made her a star alongside Santana almost 25 years ago. She was best known for this one, All You Wanted, but the new version has already landed at number 3 on the adult pop airplay, which is really impressive for a remake of that of a song that old. Do you guys want to hear the new version of Game of Love?
Let's do
okay,
it.
Okay, Michelle Branch and New Radicals. I love it. And here's a fun little detail. This is the first time New Radicals has appeared in a music video in 28 years. So this
no
is
way.
Yeah, this is not just a nostalgia play for her. It's a big deal for him too. And so, yeah, I actually think we should play the whole song. I think you guys would really like it. Let's do it after the last story here, but just one of those songs that it's like you haven't heard for a while, but when you hear it, you're like, I love this.
It's a nostalgic song.
Yes.
It brings me back to elementary school when the first
song came
out.
So good.
And I love Michelle Branch. She was one of my favorites.
She's great. All right. Finally, this morning, this one is a real lesson in trusting technology too much, okay? There's a 67-year-old farmer in China who grows sesame for a living, and he's used AI chatbots for farming advice plenty of times before. Good results. So when it came time to deal with some weeds and pests on his land, he figured, why not ask the chatbot again? So it recommended a specific herbicide and even walked him through exactly how to mix it. He didn't question any of it, didn't call an expert, didn't do a a gut check. He just trusted the advice and sprayed it all across the entire field. And the next morning, nearly 25 acres of his sesame crop was dead.
No.
Wiped out overnight.
What?
Now, when he went back to the AI to ask what went wrong, it actually explained itself, telling him the herbicide was designed to kill broadleaf weeds, which, as it turns out, sesame is also a broadleaf plant. So the chemical didn't know the difference between his crop and the weeds that he was trying to get rid of.
What a farmer, dude. How long was, does it say how long he's been farming for?
Well, he's 67 years old, so he's been doing it for a long time. So I'm guessing that just with the new technology, he thought, yeah, this will save me, you know, a visit with someone who knows weeds. And in the end, look what happened.
I'm sorry, farmer, but why are you trusting AI to consult your crops that you're... This is your living you're talking about.
25 acres is so much.
That is so much. This guy is basically ruined all because of AI. So there you go. All right. Who wants to hear the new song? You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Here we go. This is my station.
It's Mix 94.1 with Mercedes in the morning.
If you had the choice when you go out to eat next to a table that has a dog at it, like, you know, on the floor, it's one of those pet-friendly restaurants, or a toddler next to it, which seat would you pick?
A dog.
A dog?
Yeah.
That's a tough one, but I might lean dog. Yes, dog.
This new poll asked people which they would pick, or if they like sitting next to children or animals, and they found that 75% say they would actually prefer an adults-only section at a restaurant. Not like a fine dining restaurant either, just a regular place, a section where nobody's kid is. They don't want to sit next to kids at restaurants. And here's the part that gets me. It's not just like childless people voting for this. 79% of parents want it too.
They're sick of them.
They want childless areas. Do you think some places should be child-free or at least have a child-free section? And whether you're a parent or not, do you think this is something like back in the day they had smoking and non-smoking? What's your preference? Child or no child? What's your preference? Half the people on this survey said it really depends on the setting, which is, you know, that's fair. Nobody's mad about kids at Chuck E. Cheese or anything like that, right? But when it comes to just a regular restaurant, sometimes the vibe is a little different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've loved kids. I really do. I love the toddler ages, but see, I don't have kids of my own. So when I see them out in public, it's a nice little, oh, your kid is cute, but I'm okay leaving them. I'm like, okay, bye. Bye, restaurant. See ya. Like, I'm okay with or without the kids. It doesn't matter to me.
While people are ready to, like, ban the kids from the dinner table, it's the dogs. The dogs get a pass. It's so funny. 45% of diners, they say they're totally into dog-friendly restaurants. 29% say keep them outside on a patio. 16% say let them come in. Pull up a chair. Totally fine with this. What do you think? 702-364-9400. Are you team adults-only dining? Are you team let the kids stay home? Or are you the parent that is like secretly relieved that someone has finally said this out loud? What do you guys think? Let's talk to John. Hey, John, good morning. What do you think? Child-free dining.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, well, I work in education. My wife and I do. And honestly, we get sick of that. We have a couple of places. So the movie theater, rated R movies. There were some five-year-olds watching Deadpool while we were watching it. That was interesting. We were in an airport lounge, so it was fun to have that. And I think it should be kid free. And the reason I say that is because it's our own kids that we were kind of wreaking havoc.
Oh my god, that's the best yep. Plot twist ever, John. I love it. Yeah. So your own kids are just like, get them away from me.
Yeah, there are certain areas, absolutely, but nope. So kid free. Absolutely.
I do agree to a certain extent. When my kids were younger and one of them would pitch a fit in a restaurant, I feel like that's my responsibility as a parent to get them out of there. And we've left restaurants before where we're like, can we get the check? And they're like, you haven't eaten. And we're like, we just pay for what we got because she's not going to stop crying. And I remember we did that. It was a holidays and we were in Colorado at this really nice restaurant. It was the whole family. And I can't remember which one it was, but she was just, I think she was sick. She just wasn't feeling good. She's screaming. I'm like, we're literally ruining this dining experience for everyone. So I got up from the table and said, we'll see you guys back at home. We're leaving. She's not going to stop crying and I'm not going to ruin this. And we went to McDonald's.
Yeah, you know, it was just, right.
What else are you supposed to do in a situation like that? Do you think that as a parent, hey, if my kid's crying, I'm going to let him cry. I'm going to let him work it out. Or do you think that you should leave with your kid? Let's talk to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, good morning. What do you think? Child-free, animal-free dining. What's your take?
Yeah, I'm going to agree exactly with what you just said. As far as parents, I think sometimes a lack of awareness. And we think sometimes it's a letting it ride or just it's kind of cute. It's really not. And so how do we just help the rest of the experience? Yes, our kids have to grow up at some point, but at the same time, too, don't allow them just to make a fool of themselves. And then for parents, allow themselves to just, their kids just run wild in a restaurant. I think that's why people are saying, let's hang with the pets.
Yeah.
At least there's some obedience there.
What do you think about the pet dining? Are you cool with that?
I'm giving it. I'm all down for it because typically the dogs or whoever I've seen in there, they're just chill, hanging with their owner,
yes,
and they're enjoying themselves.
I do you worry about the pet hair though in your food?
Nah, because honestly, I think especially having kids, I'm like, well, I don't think there's anything I haven't touched or eaten at this point, knowing how nasty they are. So whatever, right on.
That's a valid point. Like the germs that the kids carry are probably worse than what any dog would bring in.
What about like places that you can escape, like an airplane? I would love a child-free flight.
There's one airline, I can't remember which one it is, and it shows you on the seat map when you're going to pick your seat where a child is seated. It has a little picture of a baby on it. And so you know when you get on, like, okay, not going to sit there. Definitely don't want to sit there. And you can kind of find your way. I mean, you know, is it discrimination? Or is it like saying, hey, I just want, some people buy first class tickets. I buy no children tickets.
Yeah.
So something like that.
You're paying for peace is what I say.
I mean, it's true. But also it is the real world and children do exist. So, you know, what do you do in that case? Getting a bunch of texts. What's your take? Child-free dining. Do you think this should be a thing? And also, eating with the animals. Which would you rather pick? 702-364-9400. More of your calls and texts coming up next. Talking about a new poll on kids versus dogs in restaurants. And the results might surprise you. It turns out 75% of diners want an adults-only section. And get this, most of them our parents themselves. But when it comes to dogs at the table, a lot more people are okay with that. What do you think? Would you rather sit next to someone's toddler or someone's dog while you're trying to eat dinner? Does it bother you when you get stuck next to a kid? Are there other places that should be child-free? Let's talk to Tony. Tony, thanks for holding. What do you think?
Good morning. Yes, I think that the parents have options to go dine without their children. It's called a bar.
True.
you can go plenty of places that do not allow children. But as far as the dogs go, I'm all about a pet-friendly restaurant. I just have problems where it's not a pet-friendly restaurant. So entitled to bring their dogs and try and feed them at the table. And I don't love that. I'm not a fan of that.
That's how I feel about dogs in grocery stores. I just don't like it. I picture like the dog, like I've seen the dog in like the produce section and they're like shaking and I'm like, oh, I don't know why you have to take your dog to the grocery store.
Right. Not just that. And then they put them in the shopping cart where the rest of us also put our produce and our food. And yes, we get home and wash it. But why do I have to contend with dog hair in a grocery cart?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. What do you guys think?
Is it the same thing as like kids' shoes? They're standing in the shopping cart. That's also dirty.
Yeah, well, the cart is definitely dirty, but so you're like good with the dog.
I'm okay if they're like in a bag or if they're like in some type of protection. The shopping cart's a little weird, but I see it also like countries in like Italy who have dog strollers that people bring their dogs into grocery stores. I think that's kind of cool.
Let's talk to Kristen. Kristen, hey, good morning. What do you think?
Good morning. With the dogs?
Dogs, kids, any of it. What do you think? What would you rather be seated next to?
I'm okay with pretty much everything, but I like having a special needs kid. I think they should have like a little corner, let the kids play together, be, you know, over on the side while we enjoy our meal.
Oh, like a kiddie corner, like at McDonald's where they have like the kid playland, but just at a nicer restaurant. Wouldn't that be funny if they did that for all restaurants where they had like a slide and a ball pit and all this, you know?
Imagine though, like you're over here trying to eat your spaghetti and a ball just comes hits you in the face.
Yeah, that would not be pleasant, but you run that risk with just a kid bringing their toys too. We're a lot of text. I think 100% awareness. My kids could not act correctly. We just stopped going to restaurants. When we go to restaurants now, the wait staff typically tells me your kids are so well behaved. That's good. This one says Americans seem to hate kids. Kids are an essential part of this world and parents shouldn't have to only eat at home just because their kids are young and make some noise. This one says animals over children every day. I would rather sit next to a dog with hair shedding on me than a kid. Wow. I mean, okay, but like, what do we have against the kids? I get it. Get them out if they're being unruly, but dang, it seems like you guys do hate kids quite a bit.
Do we hate kids or it's just because they're loud and obnoxious sometimes?
I met adults that are loud and obnoxious sometimes. Let's ban all loud and obnoxious people.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
Okay, well, let's get our contestant. Natalie, your caller 20. Good morning.
Good morning.
You ready to play some Heads Up for the Slotzilla tickets?
I hope so. Okay,
let's pick a category. Do you want to go with spill the tea, put it in writing, or roll with it?
Let's go with spill the tea.
Spill the tea. Okay, afternoon tea is this week.
Afternoon
tea week is this week. So that means these are all things associated with tea, the drink tea, okay?
Okay.
Okay. 6 and 60 is all we need. Are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, guys, your 60 seconds for Heads Up. It starts now.
These come from bees and you put this in the honey. No, I'm in the yes. What? What'd you say?
Honey?
Yes, yes, yes. Honey. Okay. You put this thing in there to make it. It's like got a honey string bag attached. Yes. This is you put water in this to warm it up.
Teapot?
Kettle, yes. This is like in England you eat these with your tea. Tea and what?
Oh gosh.
It's crumpets? Like yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
This is not a lime, but
lemon.
Yes. I need it a little sweeter. I'm going to put a little bit of this in there.
Sugar.
Yes. Look at you. Look at you. I even got tongue-tied and you stuck with it, Natalie. You got it.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
This is going to be so fun. You are going to have a blast. Please take pictures and send them to us. We got a family 4-pack of tickets for you for the Slotzilla Zipline at Downtown Fremont Street Experience. That's going to be so much fun. Let us know how it goes and we'll have these tickets.
You're listening to Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
Such sad news. Salad and Go is completely gone. Every single location shut down for good last week.
So sad.
The company filed for bankruptcy. And if you're the type of person who had like a standing order there, it's just like so depressing. We had 4 locations here: Vegas, North Las Vegas, Centennial Hills, Silverado Ranch,
I want to say five.
Yeah, people who built their whole like lunch routine around this place are like seriously mourning it, and I don't think it's dramatic at all because like losing your go-to spot will mess with your whole day, your whole week, your whole year. You don't realize like how much you love a place until you're sitting in the parking lot wondering, where am I supposed to go now?
What's a business like that closed down for you that maybe upset you like that, like a Salad and Go? I know a lot of Arizonians were like, oh no, that's...
Did you ever go there?
No, not me. I know.
No.
For a lot of Arizona people, they were saying like this was the spot and it was born and raised in Arizona.
In Gilbert. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have a place like that was your spot that when it closed down, it bummed you out?
Yes. Oh, Kmart. Did you guys have Kmart back in the day?
Yeah. Yeah.
My sister worked there.
Oh, did she?
Yeah,
oh,
she did.
Back in San Diego, that was me and my mom's store. We went there for everything, and it was right down the street. We would have this carousel in front of the Kmart, and my mom would do the shopping, and she would just wait at the carousel. And I would wait at the carousel, or I'd wait at the Kmart cafe with the ices and the popcorn. And when I moved to Connecticut, I came back to visit, and I found out that the Kmart that my mom and I used to go to turned into a Walmart.
No.
The betrayal.
Yes. Well, that was my story that I was heartbroken over.
What was the business that closed on you that just really got to you? You were like, oh man, not because you even went there every single day, but maybe it was your spot. Maybe it was your comfort place. Maybe it was a place that reminds you of your childhood. 702-364-9400. I think the one that I was bummed about, but like I'm not crying over, was Pickup Sticks. Did you ever go to Pickup Sticks?
Yes. Oh, I love their cream cheese wonton.
I loved their house chicken. That place had the best house chicken. And it was the one at Sahara and Fort Apache. That used to be my single childless day dinner to go to back in the day. I love that place, that sauce, the crunch. Oh my gosh, it was so good. And when they closed, I was so upset about it. And now there's like a whole new lineup of businesses there, which I get so confused when I go in there because like the movie theater's not there anymore. I'm like, what are all these places? Like I get so confused because it's just like not the era that I remember. Hey, Sean, is there a place that when it closed down here, it just really upset you?
100%. It's been over a decade. Still, it's got. That would be Star Trek, The Experience at the Las Vegas Hilton.
Oh my gosh. That place was so cool. Like, I don't know a lot about Star Trek. I know Spock. I know Captain Kirk. But who are the guys that are really huge with, like, the long hair and the weird foreheads?
The Klingons.
They're walking around there. Like, you walk in and there's just Klingons walking around.
Yeah, we had the Klingons, we had Borg, Andorians, Vulcans. It really was like traveling into a sci-fi television show, and it was kind of a geek mess.
Yeah, that was a really cool place. I wish they would reconsider bringing something like that back. And people, especially the way people are into like comics and sci-fi and collectibles and stuff like that, I think it would do really well. Thanks, Sean. Let's talk to Christy. Christy, what's a place that closed that you really miss?
I was so sad when Sizzler closed here.
Aww. I love Sizzler.
Was it the one on Rainbow and Spring Mountain?
I used to go to the one on Trop and Eastern.
Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, Sizzler had something for everyone.
And the salad bar.
That's right. Oh. Yes, I always had the salad bar. And now every single time we go out of town, the first thing I do is I Google if there's a Sizzler there, and we always go. I just went to one in Oregon a couple weeks ago.
So they're still around. They're just not here locally.
Yes, there's a couple in Southern California and at least one in Oregon.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good to know. If you're going on a road trip, put Sizzler on the list. Thanks, Christy. Let's talk to Erica. Erica, what closed and made you so sad?
Well, actually, it's going to be closing at the end of this month, and it's one of my favorite cafes in Vegas. It's Samba Latte in Boca Park.
Oh, my gosh. Erica, I'm with you. So, I love that place.
They're like the best cafe. They've been open for like 15 years, and they have to close down all of a sudden, but it's the cutest spot. They have the best coffee.
The nicest people there.
Upstairs.
Yeah, I love to go there, sit outside on the patio. I guess it was a rent issue. I guess the rent was like too expensive. I saw that too. I was like so bummed. We're getting a bunch of texts. This one says Fuddruckers. I used to love that place. The build your own burger bar was unmatched. Nobody talks about Fuddruckers enough.
I love Fuddruckers.
That place was great.
In San Diego, that was our birthday spot. Oh, where are we going for your birthday? We're going to go to Fuddruckers.
Oh my gosh. Kevin says Blockbuster doesn't count as a food, but I need everyone to know I'm still not over it. I'm not over Blockbuster either. I found an old wallet the other day, and there was one of my Blockbuster cards in the wallet.
Stop.
I was like, wow, this thing looks brand new. It should be like a collector's item. I think I had lost my previous Blockbuster card, and then they gave me a new one, and then I just left it in this wallet for years. I mean, it's so old.
And then all of a sudden, all locations closed down.
I'm like, what am I going to do with this? It's so sad. It's mixed. 94.5.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
There is an actual total solar eclipse happening today, the only one of the entire year. And unless you're in Greenland, Iceland, or northern Spain, you're not going to see it.
Aww.
Yeah, the path of totality is cutting across some pretty remote territory in northern Spain. They haven't seen a total eclipse since 1905. So this is genuinely a rare moment for the people there. Most of Europe, including London, Paris, Madrid, they're going to get a solid 90% coverage of it. But here in North America, we're not really getting only a partial eclipse. Alaska's basically the only place getting a decent view. But you know, experts are begging everyone, wear the real eclipse glasses, not sunglasses, no squinting through your fingers. And if you're bummed you're missing it, brace yourself, because the next total eclipse over the U.S. isn't happening until 2044.
Oh, man, I'm going to need a, what is those, canes by then?
Yeah, it's going to be a while for that.
And if you're an astrology lover, solar eclipse in Leo. That's like a major transformation set. I love that.
That's awesome. Taylor Swift this morning, she and Travis Kelce, they have been married a little over a year. And I guess the honeymoon phase has not extended to their pets. So Taylor has three cats, Olivia Benson, Meredith Grey, and Benjamin Button. Travis has a white, is it Samoyed? I don't know that breed. Do you know?
Mm-mm. What's it? How do you spell it?
Samoyed? Samoyed?
No, that's the first time I've heard of that.
That's the kind of dog he has. Well, the cats don't like that dog. And we don't know what the name of the dog is, but the dog wants to play every second of the day, and the cats want nothing but peace and quiet and personal space. So basically, the vibe in the house right now is these three tiny little divas negotiating with this overly enthusiastic dog who's not taking the hint. Anyone who has ever tried to like manage a cat household with a dog person, I'm sure you probably know exactly how this goes. Having to blend pets in a relationship is something I don't think we talk about enough.
I think the cats are going to win on this one, not going to lie. Even though I'm a dog lover, there's more cats than there is the dog.
Is this a deal breaker?
I don't think it's a deal breaker. Do you?
How much do you love your? I mean, do they have to spread them apart? Does one have to, you know, give one away?
Maybe you ask your brother to watch the dog for you, or maybe you just keep them apart. It's a matter of them not fighting. It's more a matter of them not wanting to play with the dog. And the dog's like, come on, guys. So maybe after a while he gets sick of them or something.
They have enough rooms in that house.
Yeah.
Each animal could have a room and an extra room.
They'll be fine, exactly. Finally, this morning, Disney is building an entire neighborhood for grown adults who never wanted to leave the Magic Kingdom. And it is happening in Pittsburgh, North Carolina, of all places. So it's called Asteria, and it's Disney's second ever story living community. And they're not playing small. We're talking 4,000 homes on land Disney already spent over $23 million on, all built around something called the Second Star Club, which I guess if you know Peter Pan, that's a direct nod to the second star to the right, straight on till morning. You remember that?
Yeah.
This is going to be actual Disney cast members walking around the neighborhood being pleasant to you while you grab your mail and stuff.
I would love something like this. Are you kidding me?
They're going to have a signature restaurant. There will be Peter Pan motifs worked into a place where people are, you know, out here paying a literal mortgage. And here's the twist that I think is, I mean, it's kind of cute, but this isn't just some retirement community tucked away for empty nesters. The homes are open to all ages, and there are a few sections set for 55 and up. So, you know, you can have grandma living two doors down from, you know, the whole family, but construction is already underway. Home sales start in 2027. So they'll start moving in by 2028. This is really happening.
This is
movies for Disney adults.
If we get one Disney character to wake you up every morning, who would you choose?
Oh, man. I don't know if I want to be woken up by a Disney character. Let me think.
The fairy godmother from Cinderella.
Really?
That's a good one.
She'd be so nice. Like, oh, hello, darling. Angel, come
be, better be home by midnight.
There you go.
I think I would pick Eeyore. That way he could be like, oh, wake up. And I'll be like, no. He'd be like, okay, I'll sleep with you.
Oh, my God. That's a perfect character.
Yeah, exactly.